with the gods as our witnesses. Let us pledge that the winner will allow the loser all the proper funeral rituals.
There are no pacts between lions and men.
No, you're a killer!
Sir, yes, sir!
Let me see your war face! Ah! That's a war face! Now let me see your war face! Ah!
Greetings, Fight fans, here in a special edition with saddened hearts, heavy hearts. We bring you in the Squared Circle, our 20th edition here on the Living in the Ring network of David Dueñas. I am Felipe León, international editor of FightNews.com, also the co-host of Boxeo Tijuana TV, Spanish language boxing analysis every Tuesday night live on YouTube, youtube.com/Boxeo Tijuana. And every other week here on the Living in the Ring network, the 2-minute round, your hooks and jabs look at a female fight world with David Avila and Elena Baby Doll Reed. And also every once in a while, I also get on our flagship show, Living in the Ring. In the Squared Circle, your 30-minute or less recap of what's going on in the fight world for the last week. And to get started, let's go to our hooks and jabs. And like we mentioned, with heavy hearts, we announced the passing of the greatest, Muhammad Ali, who passed away this past June 3rd, 2016. That was on Friday, this last Friday night. Mr. Ali had been going through some complications, some respiratory complications, and he was taken to the hospital in his hometown. Well, not his hometown, but where he was residing in Phoenix, Arizona. Obviously, he was originally from Louisville, Kentucky, and you know, things got a little bit bad, and he ended up passing away. 74 years old. He was born in 1942. He captured the gold medal in 1960s Olympics in Rome, and won his first title in 1964. He was suspended for 3 years for not answering the draft for the Vietnam War. First heavyweight to capture the title three different times. Everybody knows the story. If you're a boxing fan and you're listening to In the Squared Circle and you listen to Living in the Ring Network, I don't have to go through the whole life of Muhammad Ali. Everybody knows his story. Personally, he's a personal hero of mine. I read tons of books, watched a ton of documentaries, you know, not only for what he did inside the ring, but for what he did outside the ring, helping people without the fanfare of people knowing that he was helping him. You know, I don't know if you ever heard the story. He actually saved a man from a suicide. He bought a old folks home for Jewish people because they were going to close it down, and he sold it back to them for a dollar. I mean, there's stories upon stories of Muhammad Ali's, you know, his good deeds. And, you know, he wasn't a perfect man. He had his faults that we're not going to get into them here because we are honoring him on this show. But, you know, nobody can ever say that he was not the greatest sports hero, not only boxing athlete or boxer, but the greatest sports hero of many a generation, and there would never be another Muhammad Ali. No, some of his notable fights were against Sonny Liston 2 times, Floyd Patterson, George Chavallo 2 times, Henry Cooper, Ernie Terrell, Jerry Quarry 2 times, Oscar Bonavita, Joe Frazier 3 times, Bob Foster, Ken Norton 3 times, George Foreman, Ryle Lyle, Ernie Shavers, Leon Spinks 2 times, Larry Holmes, and Trevor Burbick. You know, his last 2 fights, obviously losses, what made him retire. And to finish off, the news about Mr. Muhammad Ali will give you from his memoir, The Soul of a Butterfly, this quote: "I would like to be remembered as a man who won the heavyweight title 3 times, who was humorous and who treated everyone right, as a man who never looked down on those who looked up to him and who helped as many people as he could, as a man who stood up for his beliefs no matter what, as a man who tried to unite all humankind through faith and love. And if all that's too much, then I guess I'll settle for being remembered only as a great boxer who became a leader and a champion of his people. And I wouldn't even mind if folks forgot how pretty I was." And that, in a paragraph, was Muhammad Ali. His funeral will be this Friday in Louisville, Kentucky. His body is already there. It got there today on Monday. And with former President Bill Clinton, comedian Billy Crystal, and sports broadcaster Brian Gumbel giving his eulogies. Now we go to the second biggest news this week, is that the AIBA, the association that covers boxing for amateurs, has allowed pro fighters to compete in the 2006 Rio Olympics. So that is something that they were talking about. It wasn't really expected, or maybe it was, but now it has come to fruition. So Manny Pacquiao has stated that he was possibly interested if it would go down to participate, but now to give the Philippines its first gold medal in the Olympics in boxing, but now he has retracted on that and said that he doesn't have the time with his new political job out there that he just won. It looks like the IBF number 2, WBO number 4, WBA number 4, and WBC ranked number 6 light heavyweight contender Arthur Beterbiev, who's 10-0 with 10 knockouts, could be the first top professional boxer to announce his participation in the 2006 Rio Olympics. Beterbiev's manager, Yvonne Michel, has confirmed that Beterbiev has major interest in competing in the Olympics. Beterbiev's trainer, Mark Ramsey, also stated that he supports Beterbiev's 100%. Beterbiev scored a 4th-round knockout over Ezequiel Moderna this past weekend, last Saturday night at the Bell Center in Montreal, Canada. But he might get into some trouble there, being ranked number 6 in the world by WBC at light heavyweight, because the WBC, who has been against the idea of pros versus amateurs in the Olympics, have decreed any top 15 ranked fighter or champion will be banned for 2 years from the WBC if they participate. So Beterbiev, if he ends up participating in ranked number 6, he will not be allowed to fight for the WBC title at light heavyweight, who the champion is Adonis Stevenson, for 2 years because of that. But he could still go after the WBA, WBO, and IBF, which are held by none other than Sergey Kovalev at light heavyweight. So we will see what happens. Let's see if he comes to his senses. Beterbiev, he has a good career in front of him with 10-0, but knocking everybody out, and is one of the new prospects coming up. Let's see what he ends up doing and see if he ends up going into the Olympics. Light heavyweight contender Sullivan Barrera, who is 17-1, suffering his first loss in his last fight, has been back in the gym for several weeks and is eagerly awaiting the phone call that will give him his next assignment. Barrera is looking to bounce back from his first career loss, which took place in March against Andre Ward. But the 34-year-old Cuban recently parted ways with trainer Abel Sanchez and is now working with Derek Santos. One of the reasons for the move is the close proximity of Santos' training facility in Boca Raton, Florida, to Barrera's residence in Miami. Barrera admits to being shocked that he hasn't received any offers for new fights, But let's see what happens now that he has left Abel Sanchez and is now training out of Florida, and see if he gets another opportunity. According to Freddie Roach, the return of Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. could be either July 16th or July 17th in Los Angeles or Texas. He's working again with Freddie Roach at the Wildcard Gym there in Hollywood, California. Since they first split up in 2014, there's no secret why they split up. Freddie Roach wasn't all that too happy with Chavez Jr.'s work ethic, but now it looks like Chavez Jr. is actually training very hard and has not missed a day in the gym and has been working hard while at the gym, according to Freddie Roach. Fighters mentioned for a return for the return of Chavez Jr. are Gabriel Rosado and Jaylon Love at 168 pounds. Another fighter who is coming back is Antonio Margarito, who is coming back on July 30th in Monterrey, Mexico, and it will be televised in Mexico by the Azteca channel and perhaps in the United States by beIN Sports. His opponent for that night will be Ramon Inocente Alvarez, the brother of Saul Canelo Alvarez. This marks the second fight for Margarito in his comeback after more than a four-year retirement. In his first fight back, he struggled but was able to defeat Jorge El Marmerito Páez Jr. With that said, we go to our next section, which is our fight results. On Friday, June 3rd, from the Emporium Function Center in New South Wales, Australia, Billy Dib won a unanimous decision over Farrampech Sorboamas for the vacant IBF Australasian Super Featherweight title. I don't know if you guys remember Billy Dib. At one point, he was signed to 50 Cent and was even fighting on HBO, but now he is relegated to fighting out there in Australia. I'm pretty sure that it was televised down there, but he needs to work a little bit to get back into the mix here in the United States and the rest of the world. Also on Friday, June 3rd, from the Belasco Theater in Los Angeles, Estrella TV on Golden Boy Promotions presented a great, well, it was pretty good while it lasted. Ronnie Rios stopped Efraín Esquivias to defend his WBC silver featherweight title in the second round. Ronnie Rios, it was all Ronnie Rios from the opening bell. You know, he just came out and completely bombed Efraín Esquivias. Efraín Esquivias did protest the stoppage in the second round. He had gone down and then he got caught with the barrage of punches. But, you know, Ronnie Rios was in full control of that fight, and it was going to end sooner than later. From the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, Florida, on Spike TV, Rances Barthelemy got a split decision over Mickey Bay, defending his IBF 135-pound title. Barthelemy was down in the second round. Scores there were 117-110. 116-111 for Rances and 117-110 for Bay. While in the semi-main event, Emmanuel Rodriguez scored a unanimous decision over 10 rounds over Mexican Alberto Guevara in 122 pounds. Scores there were 190 and 99-91 two times. On Saturday, June 4th, from the Bell Center in Montreal, Quebec, Canada, like we mentioned it, Arthur Bertivi got a fourth round TKO over Ezequiel Osvaldo Maderna for the WBA, NABA light heavyweight title. Maderna was down twice in the third and twice in the fourth. From the Oasis Hotel in Cancun, Mexico, Promociones del Pueblo brought us on Televisa. Cristian Mijares scoring a majority decision in a 12-rounder over Andres El Jaguar Gutierrez for the vacant WBC silver title. Gutierrez was overweight, so the title was only online for Mijares. And now Mijares is the WBC silver featherweight champion, so at one time or another he will be able to challenge for that title against Gary Russell Jr. if he still holds it. So think about that, folks. Cristian Mijares fighting for a WBC featherweight title sometime in the future. And from the StubHub Center in Carson, California, Golden Boy Promotions on HBO brought us what is so far the fight of the year between Francisco Vargas getting a draw over Orlando Salido for the WBC super featherweight title. Vargas, the champion, it was his first defense. He keeps the title. Scores were 115-113 from Francisco Vargas and 114-114 twice. So that makes it a majority draw. I, for myself, had Vargas winning by a slight margin. I think that he scored the cleaner punches. I think that he was able to hurt Salido at one point. But Vargas got the worst looked worse for wear, cut over both eyes and all swollen up, whereas Salido looked a little bit cleaner. It was a great fight. Hopefully they can make a rematch. Obviously Salido has asked for the rematch, so let's see what Vargas's team thinks of. As far as another decision, Abraham Lopez got the unanimous decision over Julian El Camarón Ramirez for the vacant WBA NABA super featherweight title. Scores were 98-92 and 97-93 two times. I, like everybody else, saw Julian Ramirez win this fight. Maybe 96-94 was pretty close. I think that HBO was very biased in their commentary towards Ramirez. I think Lopez was doing some good things in there, but overall Ramirez won this fight, and it was a shock that they actually gave it to Abraham Lopez with those scores. And in a non-televised bout, Gabriel Rosado got a unanimous decision over Antonio Gutierrez at middleweight, a very razor-thin decision. Rosado was down in the fourth round. Scores in that fight were 96-93 and 95-94 two times, so very, very close. And like we mentioned before in our news section, Gabriel Rosado is on the list to be perhaps Julio Cesar Chavez's junior comeback opponent. Let's go to the upcoming calendar. On Friday, very short, not a lot of fights. Friday, June 10th, from downtown Las Vegas Convention Center, Roy Jones Promotions is at it again on the CBS Sports Network. Demon Brock will face Jesus Gutierrez in a 10-rounder for the WBC USNBC lightweight title. While on Saturday, June 11th, from the Turning Stone Resort and Casino in Verona, New York, Banner Promotions on Showtime brings us Ruslan Provanica versus John Molina in a 12-rounder at a super welterweight. While Demetrius Andrade, also at super welterweight, will face Willie Nelson in a 12-rounder. From the Madison Square Garden, New York, New York, Top Rank Promotions brings us on HBO Roman Martinez defending his WBO super featherweight title against Vasyl Lomachenko in a 12-rounder, and also the return of Puerto Rican Felix Verdejo facing Juan Jose Martinez in a 10-rounder for Verdejo's WBO Latino lightweight title. And that is the upcoming calendar. And with that, we have reached the end of In the Squared Circle. Before we go, let's give you a quick rundown of what goes down on Leave It in the Ring Network. Starting on Mondays, we have the next round at 4 p.m. Pacific with Steve Kim and Gabriel Montoya. Every Tuesday, you have In the Squared Circle with Felipe León, your 30-minute or less recap of all the ups and downs of the fight world for the previous week. Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Pacific, at 6 p.m. Pacific, we have Leave It in the Ring, the flagship show with your host David Dueñas and Gabriel Montoya, and a co-host every once in a while, myself, Felipe León. Every other week, we have the 2-minute round with David Avila, Elena Baby Doll Reed, and myself, Felipe León. That's at 7 p.m. Pacific every other Thursday. And our next show will be on June 16th, the 2-minute round, where we give you your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world. And then obviously we are waiting for the return of the technical draw with Lenny the Fight Smith, and the return of Around the Ring, where it's a recap of all the shows with David Dueñas. So without much ado, we give you thank you for listening to once again to Leave It in the Ring. And we say once again, rest in peace, the great one, Muhammad Ali.